Professor Father Michael J. Kelly passed away peacefully on Friday morning, January the 15th, 2021, at the age of 92 in his adopted country of Zambia. Breda Gahan is a global health advisor with Concern Worldwide, who is supporting Concern's HIV response programs and interventions in developing countries. And Breda has been on this program on AFM many times over the last several years. Breda, welcome to the program.
Good morning, Darren, and good morning to your listeners. I hope you're all well.
Okay, thanks, Breda. Condolences, first of all, Breda, on the death of Father Michael. I understand that you knew him for many years. Can you start off by telling our listeners about, as you know it, the evolution of Michael's work over the years, and tell us how you got to know him?
Yes, thanks, Darren. Yes, we're still shocked, many of us who knew Father Michael quite well, coming up to his month's mind now on the 15th of February. Gosh, I could fill a two-hour program on Father Michael based on his books and papers and anecdotes and visits to Ireland. But when I returned from overseas work with Concern to be based in Dublin in 1998, actually, after 10 years working overseas in Sudan, Cambodia and Mozambique, I learned of Father Michael's work on education and HIV in particular. And HIV was affecting so many countries at that time, especially in Africa. I read his 1999 paper, What HIV and AIDS Can Do to Education and What Education Can Do to HIV and AIDS. Like I said, by then the pandemic had hit Africa particularly hard. It's hard to believe now, but at that time, 15,000 people globally were being infected with HIV every day. There was no treatment. Everyone died. Teachers in Zambia, as Father Michael reflected on, were dying faster than they could be trained at that time. It was a tragic situation, and I will never forget my visits to Malawi, Tanzania, and Uganda, and I went to Zambia as well in those years. And Father Michael Kelly was writing more papers, speaking out, recognizing that prevention at that time, without treatment, without a vaccine, was the only option. And his great mantra or slogan was, education is the social vaccine. Education was definitely the social vaccine back in a time without treatment for HIV and AIDS.
And he supported the use of condoms to stem the spread of the disease. I think for someone in the clergy, I believe he was a Jesuit priest, I presume that in the 80s in particular, maybe, this was a very kind of radical stance by him, was it?
It was a courageous position, and he was concerned about protecting life. My position would be the same, interrupting a killer virus at the time by any which way possible. And obviously education to protect girls and boys in school, knowing how HIV is transmitted, how HIV is not transmitted, and how a young person can protect themselves is very important. But he was very aware with his work out in the community in Zambia, and having worked with young people in Ireland and in the university sector in Zambia also, that, you know, for older people, people were having unprotected sex, and the only way to stop HIV, to stop a killer disease killing the people he knew and loved, was one method, through the use of condoms, used, as UNAIDS would say, to be used consistently and correctly every single time to prevent the transmission of HIV and other sexually transmitted infections. As you know, he wrote many, up to 15 books and many research articles about HIV. He was also adamant that, you know, the position of women and girls put them at particular risk. So he did speak out, and people were, let's say, admirable of him in his position in terms of doing anything that one could to help stop the spread of HIV and AIDS that was at that time causing 15,000 new infections globally every day.
And he was a graduate in science and maths from UCD, so he knew his numbers as well as his science, didn't he?
Absolutely, he believed in the science, yes. Absolutely.
And he knew his numbers as well. Like he is a graduate of maths, so he was he knew
He
what.
was following the data very closely in Zambia, in Ireland, and you know, globally, and shocked, and well, living up close to it, you know, in Zambia.
Okay, and you mentioned there he wrote 15 books and many research articles. Can you tell me a bit more about these, Breda?
A lot of them came from the sector of education, where he worked for many years. That was his biggest area. And writing to influence university leaders, teachers, students, pupils, getting everybody on board, as I say, in terms of education, to convince people that at that time the only way to prevent the huge numbers of people who were dying every day was through education. You know, defeating AIDS through education was one of his titles. A voice for the poor in the AIDS battle. Planning for education going forward in the context of HIV and AIDS in Zambia, like I said, where teachers were often dying faster than they could be trained. And then he moved to speak about the issues of stigma and discrimination and the female face of AIDS, especially in Africa, where many more women and girls were becoming infected at a younger age than their male counterparts. He spoke about the importance of nutrition and food security. You know, food is the first medicine when antiretrovirals did not exist. I think he covered every aspect of HIV and AIDS from A to Z in his championing of prevention through protection and education.
I believe in 2012, Father Kelly received the President's Award for the Irish Abroad, and last year on PUS issued a stamp in his honour as part of their Irish Abroad series. Having an official postage stamp in your honour is an unbelievable honour, I think, especially for a person who he was at the time, a living person, you know. It's an incredible honour, I think, to have a postage stamp in your name, isn't it?
Absolutely. During his lifetime, even more important, thankfully. I mean, he was very well and alert, speaking through Zoom at the last World AIDS Day event on December 1st in 2020.
Okay.
And, you know, Father Michael has been a great help to me over the years. The Irish Aid, Irish Global Health Network, Father Michael J. Kelly lectures, the open lecture started in 2006, Darren, I don't know if you know, and has been a highlight of the World AIDS Day calendar in Ireland on December 1st, every year since. In 2006, I was then chairperson of the DOCUS HIV and AIDS Working Group, and we regularly consulted with Father Michael, seeking his wisdom and advice, as he was living so close, in close proximity to the reality of AIDS in Zambia. He was a mentor. He communicated with people in Ireland living with HIV, including my colleague James, and on the evolving situation here in Ireland. And he continued to be a mentor right up to his emails, up to Christmas this year. He came to many of the events in Ireland in very cold weather from Zambia in December, and we collaborated a lot on highlighting the situation in Ireland and Zambia, as we would say, linking the local and global response through our work in the HIV Working Group. And in 2013, we had feedback from Father Michael on a DOCUS HIV and AIDS Working Group policy advocacy paper we published. At that time, AIDS is not over, Ireland's responsibility to help finish the job. You know, advocating that Irish Aid, Irish NGOs like Concern, Trocra, Goal, Oxfam, others, we all have a role to play in supporting countries most infected and affected, even in a time of COVID, to stop new infections of HIV and AIDS.
In asking this question, I'm aware that you have been fighting the fight against HIV AIDS since the 80s as well as Father Michael. But how did the global picture of AIDS affect Michael Breda? Can you tell me? Like, I imagine he was very affected by it emotionally, maybe even more so when we didn't have the antiretroviral drugs.
Absolutely. Father Michael was very passionate. He was deeply affected by the inequality and injustice of people living with HIV in Africa, having limited access to the antiretroviral medication when it became more widely available in Europe and the USA towards the late 1990s. He was still seeing far too many Zambians die. And in 2001, one of his papers, he was saying that the most pernicious part or aspect of HIV and AIDS then was still fear. And by the end of the paper, he was quoting Zambia's former president, Dr. K.D. Kaunda, whose own son, he reported at that time, had died of AIDS. Father Michael remained positive and declared, quoting Dr. Kaunda, "We will win." And, you know, it's amazing the progress that has been made since. Even in his first lecture with Irish Aid, the Irish Global Health Network in 2006, he said that Irish people abhorred injustice and that their determination is to help those who are most in need. He talked about the injustice, particularly of stigma and discrimination, and like I mentioned earlier, of the gender inequality driving the HIV pandemic in Africa, especially. It was only in 2007 did the AIDS deaths start falling for the first time and towards the end of the 2000s in Africa particularly. I mean, that's okay. Only 13 years ago.
You mentioned at the start of the interview that at its height there were 15,000 people getting infected with HIV every day. What's the number now, really, do you know?
Well, it's still relatively high, unfortunately, but it's about 4,000 per day, almost 4,000 per day, and still the greatest new infections are among young women. So we have a lot more to do, and we're particularly worried during a time of COVID when testing is less available, as a lot of services have stopped functioning, including in Ireland, health services, HIV delivery services, ACT UP Ireland has been very active on that. You know, if there's no testing, people don't know their status. They can't get on the antiretroviral treatments to stop them from developing AIDS. So it's a particular worry as the COVID pandemic continues, both here in Ireland and globally, that we will only find out the real impact of the new infections when we get the data for last year towards the end of this year. I think, unfortunately, we will see a surge, and we're already hearing that more people are at risk and worried because the services are not functioning. Some people have had interruptions to their treatment. They're afraid to go to the health facilities to get their antiretroviral medication, which keeps them alive and safe from developing AIDS. So we're living through two pandemics at the minute, HIV and AIDS ongoing, and this new pandemic of COVID-19, which looks like it definitely will be with us until the end of 2021. And fortunately, I mean, there's a vaccine available, or many vaccines now available, to help protect people from infection with COVID-19, or at least if they do become infected, that the disease will be less damaging in terms of morbidity. We still don't have a HIV vaccine. 40 years later, 2021 now, since 1981, we're marking 40 years of AIDS. Some of the issues are similar to COVID-19. There are a lot of different subtypes, strains, and variants of the virus. So it's been difficult to come to a vaccine, but also the investment hasn't been made, to be honest, by the donors, by governments, because the majority of the problem currently is in poorer countries, especially in sub-Saharan Africa.
Did you talk to Father Michael Kelly over the last year about COVID?
Oh, yes, we discussed it on our emails. And many times he was looking for updates, and he felt safer there. In fact, he was warning me on emails to be careful, because he knew and was hearing about the situation through the internet and Irish radio, you know, and the Irish Embassy in Lusaka, that the situation, you know, was particularly bad in Ireland last year in the spring. And he was hearing about the issues coming up to December. So sadly, before his death, you know, about the situation that was occurring in Ireland, but feeling he was a lot safer living a more open lifestyle out in the open fresh air in Zambia. So it's so sad that he was taken from us early, so suddenly in January 2021, when, you know, Ireland is now going through our third wave of the COVID-19 pandemic.
You quoted Father Michael once, just a few minutes ago. You were telling me before the interview that you have a few of his quotes. Do you want to read out one or two more of his quotes?
Yeah, well, you were asking me before the interview, Darren, you know, about how we would like to be remembered. And for me, you know, Breda, speaking from concern and knowing many people who knew him in Zambia, Father Michael was a great human being, a great teacher, educator, communicator, passionate about stopping the spread of HIV and AIDS, human rights, and particularly the rights of women and girls. He was a kind man, a humorous man. He will be missed by many friends and colleagues in Ireland and Zambia. I certainly will miss his cheerful emails, always inquisitive, and cheerful, increasing my learning every time by his questions. I would like him to be remembered as a champion of local and global HIV and AIDS response, and that prevention is possible. Education continues to be the best vaccine. And other colleagues of mine have spoken of him, which I asked them for, as I knew I would be speaking with you this morning, Darren, on Near FM. We were all members of the Dulcis HIV and AIDS Working Group together. Finola Finnan, she's Deputy CEO of Trocra, and she said, occasionally in life you come across exceptional human beings, men and women who stand out from the crowd. Michael was one such person, not just for his academic brilliance, but also for his goodness. Anita Freya, likewise, now working with Goal, Father Michael touched so many lives. I was privileged to be inspired by his wonderful words and works. His legacy will be carried on by many. In the Irish Gay Community News, a tribute was written on Father Michael, saying that he worked tirelessly to help those at risk from HIV throughout sub-Saharan Africa and the rest of the world, and he championed the rights of those living with HIV. So you see, he reached across all social spheres. Nicola Brennan was great to support in our Dulcis HIV and AIDS Working Group, and Nicola is currently Irish Ambassador in Ethiopia. Great friend of Father Michael's, has known him even longer than me, I think. And she told me that on seeing the impact of HIV on the people of his beloved country, Zambia, he used his sharp intellect and strong voice in galvanizing international attention and support for those most vulnerable and affected. While the world shines a little less bright, we know that someone as loved as Father Michael is never lost. So Father Michael inspired young and old, as you can see, Darren. And after the World AIDS Day events here in Dublin, everyone would want to speak with him. He had time for everyone, as you see in the photograph I sent you there, signing one of his books. He was a gentle man in the truest sense of the word. World AIDS Day 2021, on the 1st of December this year, will definitely not be the same without him, but he will be well remembered and spoken of. Rest in peace, Father Michael, coming up to his one-month mind anniversary now on the 15th of February. And I would like to add, Darren, sincere condolences to his Irish and Zambia families in particular. I know they are missing him every day. And we saw with tributes from the President of Ireland to the Gay Community News to his colleague in Irish Aid and in the Dulcis HIV and AIDS Working Group, we feel we have lost a great human being.